Everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back with our exit interview for episode number 8. We are going to be talking with Chanelle Howell, the first member of our jury and the mayor of Ponderosa. We are going to be checking in with her. So many questions for Chanelle about everything that she was involved with on this season. Should be a fun exit interview here today. And then, of course, we'll hear from Jordan Kalish to do a little This Week in Survivor History. On This Week in Survivor History, talked to Stephen Fishback last night for Survivor Know-It-Alls. That was a really fun episode of the Know-It-Alls last night, of course, with Stephen. We've got a lot of great stuff coming your way. Angelina from David versus Goliath coming up later on tonight. I'm going to have Hannah Shapiro on the feedback show. I'm going to check in with Nasir as well, plus everything else we have going on in our Rehap Ups feed. You can get it all when you subscribe to Rob as a Podcast, wherever podcasts are found. robasawebsite.com/subscribe. All right, let's go ahead and bring in my interview with Chanelle and then Jordan Kalish. Hey, Chanelle, what's going on? Good morning. Rob Cicerino here. How are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling really good. Like, I'm very calm and like at ease, honestly, like very zen.
Okay. Well, first off, it is a great pleasure to speak with Madam Mayor of Ponderosa, Mayor of the Jury. Yes. It is a great honor here for season 42. Can't wait to see how you conduct your business here on the jury. Let's go back to last night. I would love to know, could you just take us through what you were experiencing going into the tribal council, where it looked like that, you know, that you seemed okay. If it's Romeo, it's good. I'm not going to upset the apple cart.
So for the last night's tribal council, like, I wanted to play it back a little bit, like a little bit more cool. Granted, like, you don't see this, but I had conversations with everyone. I had multiple conversations with everyone. I had conversations in groups. Like they were strategizing, even though you see me just kind of like sitting there during the episode. But really, I think it was like Romeo was very clearly like kind of unraveling. Mm-hmm. And everyone could see it. And it was like, whoa. Like, if I just kind of play it back a little bit, like perhaps like, I might be in the clear. And so I think that was part of it. And the other part of it was like, I was on the outs. I knew that, but I didn't realize that the bull's eye was like right on my head. Mm-hmm. And so like, I thought like, okay, like this could be a good play for me. And I actually think it could have worked if we didn't see Mike dig his heels in the way that he did. So that was my thought process going into it. I think honestly, in retrospect, I wish I would have played my shot in the dark. Honestly, like if that's like one of my top mistakes in the entire game, it was not playing my shot in the dark, even though it's like such a small percentage chance that you would actually be safe. But
yeah,
it was more so like, let me like play it back and just try and see like if the target will kind of really emerge onto Romeo, which it did.
So we saw last week, you were trying to approach a few different people and you kind of got like a cold shoulder from people. Do you feel like that your former tribe members kind of poisoned the well against you being able to get your footing in at the merge?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I think that they preemptively did that too, because listen, when we got to merge, Vati was that girl. Like, everyone wanted to work with the Vati four. Ika was like, we'll target Taku and work with Vati. Taku was like, we will target Ika and work with Vati. So Vati was that girl. And Vati truly could have been like kind of where Taku was, like as a strong four. But I think preemptively we have Hai and then also Mike like saying, like, no, we don't want to work with Chanel. And so I think that like we might have potentially not have seen Lydia be collateral damage if we actually did take that route, because everyone did initially want to work with Vati before the poisoning started and people started, you know, immediately throwing, you know, me under the bus, which I'm not sure is like smart gameplay to like do that for people that you just met 24 hours ago. But, you know, everyone has different like, you know, strategies in the game.
So I totally understand the reasons why you voted for Mike at that last tribal council when Daniel went home. It's the ultimate like self-preservation move in case that shot in the dark ends up being played. But do you feel like, had you not done that, do you think that there is a chance that you could have reintegrated back with the Vati tribe heading into the merge?
Well, I want to say like for a couple reasons. Like, number one, it was in case Daniel played a shot in the dark, right? And it was like, if Lydia risked her vote at the summit, like there are a lot of things kind of playing into that. And I know I've gotten a lot of heat, like, why would Chanel make that move? But when you come to Survivor and you're playing a game essentially for your life, mm-hmm. you can cross your fingers and hope for the best case scenario. I hope that this person who is very clearly on the bottom doesn't play the advantage that they have in their pocket. Mm-hmm. Or I could play for the worst case scenario, which is like, if they have it and if it works, like, I'm going to play for the worst case scenario and I'm going to put this vote on Mike. And so, like, for me, the strategy behind it, like, checks out. And if I had to do it again, I probably would. I think the thing that I underestimated was Mike's emotion, like how emotional he was, right? Which is like, We see Mike and I make the exact same moves more than once. Mike loses his vote, doesn't tell me. I lose my vote, I don't tell him. Mike votes for me in case of Daniel shot in the dark. I vote for Mike in case of his shot in the dark. We make the exact same moves, but I'm vilified for it, right? Like, there's this intense emotional response where I'm like, this is purely like strategy, right? For both of us. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why it was like such an emotional like outburst after, but you know.
Chanel, I want to go back to Shipwheel Island, and we've been waiting for weeks to be able to ask you about the decision you made to risk your vote on Shipwheel Island. Can you just talk us through what you were thinking when you risked your vote?
Yeah. So like, let's just kind of go back a little bit to the challenge. Number one, that challenge was hard and we don't see it.
Remind us, which challenge was that?
The one where we almost drowned.
Okay, got
with
it.
The waves, right? And then we don't see it, but your girl carried her tribe on my back. Like, mm-hmm. Literally for the second part of the challenge, I was just going, which is why when Jeff goes, talk with who you're going to send, they're like, immediately Chanel. Like, she seems like the strongest one, like, immediately Chanel's going. And so I was exhausted on that hike up. Like, I see myself on the camera and like in the secret scenes, I'm like stumbling, my face is glazed over. Like, that was hilarious. It was awful. It was, and like, I remember just like stopping and like every 10 seconds being like, Omar, I'm sorry, I need to pause. We hadn't eaten anything at that point. Like, we were so lazy on Bati. We didn't have fire after day two. We were not eating anything. And so like, when we get to the top of the mountain, I think the mistake really was that Omar and I didn't have the right kind of conversation. So like, what we see is me saying like, oh, I can't risk my vote. Like, I can't, like, I have to go to tribal tonight. But what we don't see is the end of that conversation, which is where I'm like, me and Omar decide, okay, if this hurts both of us, neither of us will touch it. If it helps both of us will take it. And what we didn't discuss was that in between, which is like, but what if it hurts or helps one or the other? We didn't touch that at all. And so when we get to the wheel, Omar's thinking, oh, well, we both said we're not going to take it because it's going to hurt both of us. I get to wheel saying, okay, we're both not going to take it because, you know, it hurts both of us. And so if he's not going to take it, I'm going to take it. And he thought the exact same thing, mm-hmm. which was like literally what we had agreed on, is that we both wouldn't take it. We both agreed we wouldn't touch it. And so that we both pulled the same exact move for the same exact reason. And, you know, obviously I was the one that ended up kind of screwed because I was at tribal council that night. But the thing I want to bring up also is that like, everyone's like, you didn't protect your alliance. And I'm like, what alliance? Like, I was squarely in the middle, committed to two different alliances, right? High and Lydia were my alliance. Mike and Jenny were mine and Daniel's alliance. And so like, everyone's like, you didn't protect your alliance. Someone from my alliance is going to go home either way. And if there's any time in the game to take a risk, it is when you are the most safe. And I knew that I was super safe that tribal because I knew I could go the entire afternoon right before tribal, get back to camp. And I knew that my name wouldn't have come out of one of my castmates' mouth. And that was the truth. And that like quite literally was true. And so we see that. And that's why I was like, the power of my social game, which I stand on. And I know we see the flashback. We see High kind of sniffing out my plan and all of that, which did not happen. In actuality, those things are all filmed the very next day. Everyone was clueless about what was happening. Everyone was clueless. No one sniffed anything out. You see the like cuts to me being frazzled or like the cuts to everyone looking at me like that at tribal. That was all like, no, that was not the case. Like, the case was everyone was clueless. There was no mastermind to sniff it out. Actually, the Jenny vote specifically was a fluke because I got back to camp and we were like, okay, I think the conversation before I got there was, all right, guys are going to vote Jenny and girls are going to vote Mike. I didn't realize that was conversation. So I was like, all right, we're going to split the votes. Girls on Jenny, guys on Mike. And I know High specifically really wanted to be the one to break down Jenny's name because, you know, the super fan in him wanted to have a perfect voting record.
Wow.
Not them realizing that we weren't actually voting for Jenny. And so the super fan in him made him flip his vote, but it just fucked our entire numbers. And so that's when we ended up at a tie because the numbers didn't work out because like of a fluke flip vote. And so that is how it kind of happened. And then we see, you know, me getting thrown under the bus at Tribal and having to recover from there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for all that. A lot of information from that Tribal Council. So what was your plan for when you finally got to talk to Omer at the merge? Because we didn't get to see you and him talk about him not having a vote at that Tribal Council.
Oh, my God. I just want to clarify. I absolutely told Omer that he didn't have a vote. Absolutely told him that. So I think for when we finally merged, I didn't get a chance to talk to Omer right away, right? There's a lot of people, there's a lot of things moving. You can't always fool people. But when I finally talked to Omer, I was like, listen, I don't have a vote. I was like, I got a lot of votes. I got a lot of votes the last tribal. He was like, who voted for you? I was like, Mike and Daniel. He was like, oh, wow. I was like, yeah. So I am kind of like on the outs. I'm not really sure, but like, I'm still down to work with Vati and I think we should still work with you guys. And like the thing that a lot of people I might have said this to you, but like Vati was like the one that everybody wanted to work with when we got to merge. And so like, I thought that like, because of that positioning, like I was going to be okay.
Okay. So you said in the episode that you were playing chess. Everybody else was playing checkers. Could you just give us a little bit more about what did you mean by that?
It was the inverse. I accidentally mixed up the saying. I was playing chess. And everyone else was playing chess.
Did anybody notice the red on Drea's arm besides Tori in the episode?
I didn't see it. No, I didn't see it. I don't know. I personally didn't see it. I was also eating peanut butter and jelly when that happened.
Got it. Also, you voted with Tori in the last episode for Jonathan. Who else did you think you were voting with going into last vote?
I thought I was voting with Tori, Marianne, Romeo, Lydia, and Omer.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the big group, it seems like that there is like, a group of seven or eight and people on the bottom. Could you feel that out there that there was like
The thing is, I didn't know who was exactly in it. Because this wasn't like David versus Goliath where you see the majority alliance walking down the beach all together. Right. Like there was no point where everyone was together having a meeting. It was like, there's an alliance, but like this person is going to pull that person and tell that person. This person's going to tell that person while only three people actually met. So like, you don't really see it. You don't really know exactly like who is on the outs or who is like in on the ins, but you do know like, all right, well, I'm clearly not a part of that group, or I clearly walk up and they're talking and I'm not a part of that strategy session, or I'm not a part of that conversation. And so, like I knew that I was on the outs, but I didn't know exactly like to the extent of it.
Okay. Chanel, I know you have a lot of press to do today and you have to run. Anything else real quick you want to let us know?
I mean, just that like I had a great time. I'm like loving watching the season. It's so fun. I think our cast is super fun and really good. And so like, yeah, I mean, I'm just grateful to have played and like I had an incredible experience. So, yeah.
Well, I really get from you that you love the game. It's very fun to talk to you and hope that we could talk again soon.
Yeah. Hey, Rob, it's so good talking to you.
Bye. Take care, Chanel. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. Chanel Howell, a lot of interesting info, trying to process all of that and everything that we just found out. Some interesting nuggets about the Tribal Council, where Jenny went home. And of course, we'll see where things go from here with Chanel. I think she's an interesting person to have as the mayor of Ponderosa. I definitely get from her that, you know, you saw from that move that she made where that she, you know, knew to, you know, play a vote on Mike, the potential of the shot in the dark. So she's somebody who I think the strategy is going to be very important in terms of, and sometimes that mayor of Ponderosa, that's a very important position in terms of like how the rest of the jury and the other people coming in from Ponderosa like view the players. And that might be fun to sort of like go back and take a look at, like, does the mayor of Ponderosa sort of like impact the type of player that goes on to win a season? But that's for another day, maybe an off-season podcast. In the meantime, let's go ahead and switch gears and bring in your friend and mine, the host of This Week in Survivor History. It's Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
I am doing great, Rob. Having a very nice Passover week, and I would like to say happy belated Easter to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes.
So as was my family tradition pre-COVID, I'm finally back in the Boston area. And last night had a great Survivor viewing party in Boston. Skipped my New York one this week. I'm sure they all had a good time too. But it was really nice to see everybody in Boston again.
Okay. Jordan, before we get into talking about the Survivor past, let me take a moment and thank a sponsor. And those are our friends over at Truebill. Jordan, now, do you get a lot of free trials? I mean, they're kind of like the Beware Advantage, right? It's like, hey, try this free. And then all of a sudden, what did I get signed up for? What did I agree to? My credit card is being dinged. I don't know how to stop it.
I do get these. They're hard to resist. And you put your credit card information in, they're not going to bill you at first. It's very, very, very annoying. And then you end up getting screwed, Rob.
Yeah, well, that's with Truebill. They're going to save you. That's the TB that I care about. Truebill, it's the new app that lets you identify and stop paying for subscriptions that you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. People, on average, save $720 a year, up to $720 a year with Truebill, because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel. Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link up your account with Truebill, and they will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in just one tap. And your Truebill concierge is there to help you cancel those unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to. That you have all sorts of things that you put in, like, okay, let me get 30 days free. You totally forget about. You go through your statement, if you ever do that, or go on the app and it's like, what am I even paying for? Truebill is going to help you. That they have saved over $100 million across 2 million users, like Matthew B., who said in a matter of seconds, he saved over $660 for the year on his DirecTV bill and saved $120 for the year on SiriusXM, saved $840 a year on car insurance. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/RJP. Go right now to Truebill.com/RJP. Could save thousands a year. Truebill.com/RHAP. All right, Jordan. All right.
Yes.
Let's get into talking about what has happened in the past on This Week in Survivor History.
All right, Rob. So we are going to go back, and I decided to compile a list of all the people who were voted out. It's like 20 people in all the seasons, and I have a rebus puzzle for every single one of them.
Oh, my God.
Nah. We do have one rebus puzzle, verbal rebus, for the end of this quiz.
All right, save it.
I will save it.
That's the dessert.
I do have the rebus puzzle dessert for you later on in the podcast, but I have
after the bunny rabbit finishes dinner in the mailbox, that's when dessert happens.
Yes, that's at the end. You know, we're not one of these eat dessert first people. We have this main game for you, which I have gone back and I have found people who have been voted out this week in Survivor History. And your job is going to be to figure out, first of all, I'm going to tell you what the season was. I'm going to tell you what the vote total was. You're going to first have to tell me who the person was who was voted out at that point. And then you're going to have to tell me who the people were who voted for them. So here's how it's going to work. I'll give you an example. I'll use Survivor Amazon as the example, because I know you're going to know this one. I'm not giving you points for this. Alex. Oh, sorry. I just gave it away. But Survivor the Amazon. 7th place, and the vote was 4-3. The first thing I would ask you is, who got voted out at this final 7 tribal council? And you would say,
Alex got voted out when Rob, Matthew, Butch, and Christy voted
for
him.
Good job. You were one of the people. You knew this one. You would get 1 point for the initial knowing that it was Alex. And then you would get 4 more points because you got the 4 people.
Are we at the level yet where only like maybe 6 people in the world know the answers to these questions?
I think we might be there. I mean, it's a hard game. If I give you these like layup multiple choice questions, you're going to get every single one of them.
What if the
right?
game was like I drank like a 6-pack before we came on and did these and then see how many I could get?
Survivor History.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know that we actually
could we do that as a patron benefit?
We did that. We talked about
let me ask Sam.
And it never came to fruition.
Okay. All right. So here's the maybe we'll make a patron goal. Rob drinks like a 6-pack, and it was a 6-pack of beer. It's like, you know, probably like a 12-pack for like a normal man, right? Mm-hmm. And so I drink a six pack and then I come on and answer Survivor trivia questions.
Are you a lightweight, Rob?
I mean, at this point in my life, yeah.
Wow. Can I partake in the drinking for this?
I mean,
too?
I've seen you do fireball shots with Boston Rob, so I'm going to guess that you probably could.
Good. I think I'm going to.
I mean, you go to a bar history. Function once a week. At least.
Yeah, but I'm not always getting...
God knows what you're doing at all these Yankee
games. Faded at these... Well, the Yankee games are a different story. Mm-hmm. With the way that they're hitting...
I mean, I'm following some of your live tweets during these Yankee games. It's sounding like a man who might be, you know, drinking heavily during these games.
Is it bringing you back to the Girardi days where my whole Twitter personality was just trashing Joe Girardi?
Yeah, between you and Brian Cohen.
Yeah, it's rough. Brian and I have had some texts back and forth too. Mm-hmm. It's not fun right now in Yankee Land, but hopefully it gets better. Mm-hmm. But okay, so let's play this game. I'm going to take you back first of all to Survivor Marquesas. Oh, and I didn't say this. So you're going to get either 1 point or 0 points. If you get the person who got voted out, you'll get a point. If not, you won't get the point. Once you're listing the players who voted for the voted out player, once you get one wrong, you're done. You can't earn any more points on that round. So we're going to go to Survivor Marquesas. This is the final. This is the ninth place player, the final nine vote. And it was a vote of 6-3. Who was voted out at the Marquesas final nine?
And then I have to give you the six. Okay.
Start with the person who was voted out for 1 point.
All right. So I'm going to say it was... John Carroll was the person who got voted out.
Yes, this was on the heels of the Boston Rob vote where he didn't make the jury. And John Carroll becomes the first jury member. This is, the beginning of the fall of the Road to Four. And you can now earn up to 6 points because there are six people who voted for John Carroll. Can you give me the names?
V, Sean.
Is correct. Yes,
Nalia, correct. Pappy, a.k.a. Kathy. Pascal. Kathy Vavrick O'Brien and Kathy Zoe.
Zoe's the tough one. She is the one who tried to pretend that she was never part of the Road to Four Alliance in the next episode. And she set that up by voting against John Carroll when she saw the writing on the wall. Of course, everyone saw right through her and realized that she was, of course, part of the Alliance. You get all 6 points plus the one. So you have 7 points right now going into the second round, which is going to be touchdown. Survivor Micronesia. This is also the final nine. This was a 5-4 vote.
Okay. So this is a 5-4 vote. And so I think that we're at the point where I think it's going to be, I think Ozzy is going to get voted out here 5-4.
So Ozzy knows a little bit about 5-4 votes, and he was on the wrong side again of this one, of course, after losing his first season 5-4 in the final tribal council to Yule. Ozzy is correct. You do get the point for knowing that. Who were the five players who voted for Ozzy?
Okay, so, all right, let me start with the easy ones. Okay, I know it's going to be Parvati, Suri.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to guess Natalie, yep. Alexis, that's and
great. One more.
I don't know if Amanda was in on it. So I'm going to say that it was Jason was the fifth vote.
So Amanda, you are correct that she was not in on it. Jason is the player who received four votes, so he was the fifth vote for Ozzy. You get the full 6 points on the game. You're a perfect 13-13. This one, I think, is going to be maybe a little bit tougher. Potentially.
Ooh, doggy. Okay.
We're going to go to Survivor Korong.
Korong.
This is the eighth place player, and it was a 4-2-2 vote. Who was the player who was voted out?
On a 4-2-2 vote at the final eight. Okay. All right. Let me just think this through. 4-2-2 vote of the final eight. I'm going to guess that it was, I'm going to say it was,
told you this one was a little bit tougher than Micronesia and Marquesas, even though it was more recent.
Mm-hmm.
It's good I didn't do game changers.
I'm going to say that it was Scott.
Scott Pollard is correct. So you do get the point for knowing that it was Scott Pollard. Do you know who the four players were? So only half the players. Shannon Gus consider this a plurality vote situation? Because there was technically a vote split, but I think this is the one minority tried to do. The people who were in the minority of the vote tried to do a vote split here. So I think she would consider this one of her favorite plurality vote splits.
So. All right. So I'm going to say that we are going to have Aubrey.
That is correct.
We're going to have Sydney.
That is correct.
We're going to have Joe Del Campo.
Joe Del Campo is correct, and we have
and
one
then
more
who
player.
Is the fourth? I'm going to guess that it's going to be Ty Trang.
Ty Trang is correct. Yeah, we have our second, third, fourth, and
then
fifth place player.
Julia and Michelle are one of the twos, and then Scott and Jason are one of the twos.
They thought it was going to be a vote split, but it ends up that Scott gets voted out. Ty's part of it doesn't give him the super idol, and you get a full 5 points. You're still a perfect 18 for 18.
What year
here.
Was that? 2015?
This was
on This Week in Survivor History in 2015?
I believe it was 2015, and I think this was right before
everything went
right
to hell.
Run it up Reno, I think. Oh. I think it was that year.
Okay.
Where you had mentioned the fireball shots at Boston Rob. That's where that took place. We have one more round of this game for you. We're gonna go to a very famous vote. But do you know all the people? First of all, the winners at war, ninth place, 4-3-2. I know you're gonna get the person who got voted out.
Okay.
The win 4-3-2 at final nine, according to the one.
Okay. This is okay. Winners at War that happened this week in 2020 when it was Sophie who got voted out.
Yeah, Sophie correct? Who was playing a great game up to that point.
Yeah. And so the four is going to be Tony, Jeremy, Nick, and Michelle.
Tony, Jeremy, Nick, and Michelle is correct. You get a full 5 points. You go complete 23 for 23 in this game. Great job. That is the group that came together to take out Sophie there.
Thought you were going to ask some tough questions.
I think these were
Scott Pollard. Scott Pollard was tough.
Yeah, I think that the Korong was, I think, the hardest round. It was sort of in that middle, like early 30s era where the votes are sometimes hard to remember. Winners at War was recent. The other two were far away, but it was also, you know, the John Carroll vote is obviously historic as the fall of the Road to Four. Micronesia, Ozzy getting blindsided, of course, a very famous tribal council. The Scott Pollard round was the toughest, but you still got past it with all the points. So 23 for 23. Mm-hmm. I think I did the math right. 13. Yeah, that's 23. And I have one more game for you.
Okay.
And this is, of course, the verbal rebus puzzle. So we're here. This is what everyone has been sticking around for. They want to know who I'm going to pick for this verbal rebus.
You got a big vote of support on the verbal rebus puzzle from Shannon Gus this week.
Yes. I actually, on my way up to Boston, I was listening to that, and I appreciate it. And I think it's a fun game.
Okay.
So we're going to do another one. This is, of course, somebody who got voted out this week in Survivor History. It's somebody who we have not brought up yet on the podcast, at least on this episode of the podcast. Okay, here we go. We have the Worlds Apart Fire 4 Fire-Making Loser minus what B injured in David versus Goliath plus a 2-time Survivor player with a Pagong tattoo minus the second syllable of Vanuatu Bubba's real first name, plus the sound you might make when your idol nullifier is played correctly, plus what Jews won't eat, according to Big Tom.
Okay, so it's just say it one more time for everybody who doesn't have a pen.
Sure. So we have the Worlds Apart Final Four Fire-Making Loser, minus what B injured in David versus Goliath,
okay,
plus a 2-time Survivor player with a Pagong tattoo, minus the second syllable of Vanuatu Bubba's real first name, plus the sound you might make when your idol nullifier is played correctly, plus what Jews won't eat, according to Big Tom.
Okay. I think that this is not perfect in terms of what you've done here, but the answer is Roger Bingham.
The answer is Roger Bingham. And here's how we got there. Worlds Apart, Final Four, Fire Making Loser is Rodney.
Correct.
What B injured in David Goliath, that was her knee.
We're so with Rodney you so far. Okay, so Rod. We got Rod.
We got Rod. We got Rod. So then two-time survivor player with the Bagong tattoo, that is Jervis.
Jervis.
This is where it gets a little dicey.
Yeah.
The second syllable of Vanuatu Bubba's real first name. His name is Travis. So the second syllable is this. Jervis minus this is Jer. So we have Rod Jer.
No, I'm not an English teacher. And maybe there's somebody who's listening. Like, is the first syllable Trav or is the first syllable Tra?
I knew this was going to come up. And it's
I feel like
puzzle.
The syllable one is Trav. Syllable two is Is.
I think I have a little bit of like.
His name isn't like not like Jervis. His name is Travis.
I know, but you still got there, and I think I have a little bit of poetic license here.
A ton.
I mean, what if you have Jervis? You know his name is Travis. You know what I'm trying to get you to get rid of. There's no other this. I tried looking. I looked for so many this's in Survivor, and it's really just Travis. If anyone thinks of one where I could have used a better way to get rid of the vis from Jervis, you can't really get rid of vase because it's verbal. It's not how it's spelled. It's how it sounds. Okay. But anyway, the sound you might make when your idol nullifier is played correctly. Well, if you're Godfather Carl, you would say bing. And what Jews won't eat, according to Big Tom, that is ham. Roger Bingham.
Yep. Okay. You've done it again, Jordan.
Yes, I have.
Okay. Where can people check out everything else you're doing?
People can check me out on Twitter,
yes,
at Jordan Kalish, Instagram, at Jordan Kalish. You can, if you're in the New York area, after now, I'll be back in New York for the rest of the viewing parties this year. So if you want to go to a viewing party in New York, you can DM me. I don't like to give out the name of the bar necessarily on the podcast, but yeah, I will.
You don't want the riffraff showing up, right?
Yeah, if you DM me, it's not a private event. You can come; it's a public place, but we get the private.
You got to know the password, right?
Yeah, just DM me, and you're in. If you're listening to the podcast, you can
the
come.
Password. The password needs to be the solution to last week's Rebus puzzle.
It's the game within a game.
The game within a game.
I think for the game within a game last year, they should have gotten me to do these Rebus puzzles because we would have had some old school Survivor players get some shout outs on the show, which we don't always see.
Okay. All right. Well, Jordan, thank you once again, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
All right. There you have it. Jordan Kalish rounding out another week on the Survivor Exit Interview. Still so much content coming your way. Angelina, Hannah, Nasir. We've got, for the patrons of Rob the Podcast, the Survivor Academy. We take your questions, and we are looking ahead for what the future players need to learn from this week in Survivor. We are going to be talking with Jessica Leese on Survivor Academy for the patrons of Rob the Podcast. If you are not yet a patron, come on in and become a part of the best, gosh darn, reality TV community around. Rob has a podcast. Go to robswebsite.com/patron. Thank you so much for joining us. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.